Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm fairly confident that most of you listening will know about Bitcoin. It's always on the news. I feel like it's all anyone's talking about. It seems to be always plastered over social media. And now Elon Musk will even let you buy a Tesla with it. Despite the fact there's lots of noise about Bitcoin, it's still a little bit confusing in terms of where to begin buying Bitcoin. Well, I'm super pleased to say that this episode has been sponsored by Coin Corner, who make the world of Bitcoin super simple. They have a really easy to use website and a very friendly customer service team, meaning you can get set up and buying Bitcoin about 10 minutes. Now, I realize some of you might still be skeptical about the world of cryptocurrency, but Bitcoin has been the greatest performing asset of the last decade, better than gold or silver. So if you're interested in buying your first Bitcoin or you want to increase your Bitcoin holding, you lucky person, head over to coincorner.com/STG. That's coincorner.com/STG. When you head there or when you use my code STG when you're signing up to Coin Corner, they'll actually give you some sats, which are basically like a sort of small part of a Bitcoin. I got into the Bitcoin world late. I couldn't afford to buy a whole Bitcoin. So I've got like 0.001 of a Bitcoin, which is called a sat. So yes, unbelievably, Coin Corner are going to give you some of those when you sign up using that code STG or going to that link coincorner.com/STG. So yes, if you're intrigued, if you've been hearing lots about Bitcoin and you want to find out more and think maybe buying your first, head over one more time, coincorner.com/STG. Hello one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass. I'm your host, Sam, from the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass.
And I'm Tony from Gravelwood Car Sales.
Yes, you are. Each week we get together, we talk about cars, motorsport, F1, car, what else? Cars. You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can watch us on youtube.com/behindtheglass. Don't forget to subscribe and turn on notifications. And Tony, if people want to support this podcast, what should they do?
Watch it.
No. But also head to Patreon. You can support us on patreon.com/behindtheglass. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed the episode. It's going to be an interesting episode, this one, because I've lost all internet connection. And what I usually do is there's various topics I want to talk about, or I have lists and I bring them up on my laptop, and I can't do any of that.
You don't remember?
I do remember, sort of, but I needed information which was on the internet, which I now can't access. I think someone's like crashed into one of the mobile phone network poles or something like that.
Really?
Because my phone has, usually I have full 4G here. I've got none. And the Wi-Fi, which to be fair is 4G as well, has got none. What, have you got signal?
Yeah.
See, I think it's three. I think someone's driven into the three telephone
masts. Are you EE or three or something?
I'm three. I'm three all through and just disappeared today. So we're going to wing it. Oh, no. Wish us luck. Let's get into it. It's been a busy week for both of us. We've both been doing quite a lot since we last sat down. I did release an episode of After the Checkered Flag, my F1 series with Paul Wallace earlier this week.
How did that go?
It went well. We were quite rude about you. We were winding you up because of the your enforced betting. Anytime anyone makes any prediction, you're, I'll put a bet on it. You would, I think, bet me what I was going to have for lunch if you had the chance. If I said, I bet you I'll have a chicken sandwich. So we did wind you up a bit, but it was very good. And we put two races together into one episode.
Paul's just got the ump because I took money off him this year.
Probably. Yeah, that's right. But when you text me saying, I want to bet, I just said, oh, let's leave me alone, go talk to Paul. And luckily you did.
Paul wouldn't have it either.
Yeah, so if you missed that, go and check it out. A quick reminder that after each race, well, theoretically after each race, Paul and I will sit down and sort of talk about the race in a new series called After the Checkered Flag. But do not worry, it doesn't encroach in what we do. We are here every week. I think we really are here every week, aren't we?
Yeah.
It's like the consistency of the minute. We are nailing.
We're the A-team.
We are the A-team. So much so that once again, over the last 7 days, we have crept into and out of the number one spot here in the UK as an automotive podcast.
Very good.
And smashing it in the lifestyle sector these days.
Yeah. I mean, it just goes to show a little bit of hard work and a bit of perseverance.
It's true that.
Which is what we've been doing.
We've stuck by it.
Bashing them out now for about consistently 18 months, haven't we? So it's good that the views are up, the followers I've noticed that have grown recently.
Welcome to a load of new followers.
Yeah.
If you are someone that regularly listens to this podcast on YouTube or on any audio platform, subscribe. Why don't you? Because then you'll get a notification when a new, I know we always publish on Thursday, but the time changes. And so if you just subscribe, turn on the notification bell on YouTube, it'll go ring-a-ding-ding.
Yeah.
New episode. And hey, we would like it because it will allow us to approach more sponsors.
And thank you. More importantly.
Well, that's it. And actually, one thing which I can do today is announce something very exciting.
Oh, well, I don't.
No, you do know all about it.
You got internet bag?
Well, I'm going to chance it. I might get the dates wrong. Because as a celebration, we can finally announce the return of Behind the Glass Live.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I knew about that.
You knew all about this.
Yeah.
So this year, we are going to do a minimum of 4 live podcast recordings.
4? How many? Was 3.
No, it's 4 now.
4?
Sorry, yeah. We're announcing it now, so I can't say. Demand has been social. We're doing 4. So down here at STGHQ, utilising the entire factory Duke of London space, we're essentially going to be doing a sort of cars and coffee style morning with a podcast recording. So you can come along, hang out with us. We can check out your cars. Tony will be very rude about them. I'll hopefully be quite nice about them. Hopefully we'll have cars here for you to check out as well, whether they're our own cars or maybe I'll borrow things from manufacturers. There'll be coffee, seen through glass coffee. Hello. Served up. There'll be other little bits and bobs too. I might have the sim rig open so you can take part in the newly unveiled STG Hot Lap Challenge.
Oh, no.
What?
I was going to say, I mean, I think we should have that for the patrons.
Well, hold on.
He's got something up his sleeve for them.
So I'm just giving a run through. And then we'll be sitting down recording an episode with a studio audience who will be able to get involved. We'll be opening up to the studio floor. There'll be suggestions, etc., etc. We're really excited about this.
We are.
And what I will say is, for now, because you jumped ahead of the gun.
Sorry.
I got to brief you better. Currently, tickets are only available for patrons.
Very good. How many patrons have we got?
We have got a few.
How many?
200.
So we'd like to see you all then.
So that's the point. At the moment, we're only doing 50 tickets per event because even though restrictions are being eased very soon here in the UK, and all our events are post theoretically the last restrictions in the UK, we just want to keep numbers small to start with. We may increase the numbers, but we just want to keep it small to begin with. So 50 tickets per event, that could go up. And at the moment, first come, first of all, early bird access is for the patrons. Can I finish?
Yep.
So the dates, they're all Sundays.
Good.
And all Sunday mornings. Before Grand Prix, essentially.
Really?
I've done it before the races.
And the football.
And the football, fine. So, Sunday, 4th of July, Sunday, 25th of July, Sunday, 5th of September, and Sunday, 12th of September. So that, again, just to run off, it is Sunday, 4th of July, Sunday, 25th of July, Sunday, 5th of September, and Sunday, 12th of September. Patrons, keep your eyes on the Patreon page. I'll be doing a post about this so you can at least register your interest, and then a ticket link will go live to you guys well in advance of then opening up to the rest of the people. We will, of course, let everyone else know when these events are accessible. Because of travel restrictions, I'm going to say it's probably just for people within the UK. But hey, who knows? By September, maybe international travel will be allowed.
Yeah, yeah.
If you want to commit to flying over or driving over to take
part.
That would be incredible. But we don't want to make anyone quarantine to come and listen to us talk.
Yes, we do.
And yes, of course, once the events open, patrons as well, because we do love our patrons, and I know we bang on about them a lot, but they are the best human beings in the world. There'll be certain things which you will get in addition, but I'll let you know about that on the Patreon page. So keep your eyes out there. as I say, you'll be able to register your interest and then you'll be able to get tickets before anyone else. And you'll also be able to access certain things at the event that others aren't. But the rest of you, we still love everyone else. It's not like we only love our patrons. We like everyone who listens to this podcast.
Yeah. And if you're not a patron and you want to be, sign up.
Well, you can sign up too. Like, that's the thing. But also, just you can also, you will be able to get a ticket and you will still be having a great time and we'll still talk to you.
Of course.
Not going to be like, if you don't show us your patron badge, get out. It's like a secret society. Ew, you're not a patron.
Yeah.
So that's really exciting.
Yeah, very exciting.
I wasn't planning to announce it today, but because I've lost the internet, it was the first thing that came to my mind.
Well, you've absolutely done me, because I weren't expecting it either.
You weren't at all. But we just, you know, there we go. And so more information will be coming soon, as I say, and of course, a link so that people can then get tickets. But I wanted to at least get the dating, because I think people are getting busy now.
Mm.
People's weekends are getting clogged up. And I thought, if we wait and wait and wait, people won't be able to make it. So I want to get at least the date in the diary, and then more information will follow with how you can access
tickets. And people keep asking me about what special car I've got. Well, if you come to the live shows, you're going to know, because I'll bring it, as in it'll be here.
For the second show, the Sunday the 25th of July, I will have a very special car here.
Really?
Oh my God.
I mean, that's not funny.
That is a laugh, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, okay. A little bit upstaged there.
I just whispered it to Tony. Sometimes I do that and I realise that people have no idea what I'm doing. Anyway, so there we go. Yeah, so just a one more time for your diaries. Sunday, 4th of July, Sunday, 25th of July, Sunday, 5th of September, Sunday, 12th of September. Mark those down now and keep your eyes and ears peeled for more information as to how you can get tickets. Great, let's move on.
Well done.
Anything you want to talk about? Like, anything that's been happening with you? Anything you want to reveal to anyone?
What?
That was a loaded question.
So last week, I've done a bit of a shout out, and I've done a couple for like those of you that follow me on social media. I've done a bit of a plea, I guess. I was looking for an AMG GTR Pro or an AMG GTR. I wanted a second car. I've got some trips planned and I wanted to keep the miles off my special car, essentially. So, lo and behold, you guys have come to the fore, and oddly, this doesn't happen very often, but I sold an AMG Pro about 6 weeks ago. And the gentleman that bought it follows me on social media. He's a very nice chap. His name's Ross. And he watches the podcast. He's a cracking bloke, to be fair. He's from Scotland. Anyway, I bought it back. So he's called me up the other day and he said, Tony, that car you sold me, do you want to buy it back? He said, I've just bought another car. Prolific car buyer.
Go on, Ross.
As in, yeah.
Legend.
Absolutely. He's just bought another Ferrari, by the way.
Oh, Ross.
So he's got a GT3 and he's had like every car. Yeah.
Putting you to shame a little bit, isn't he?
Yeah. Absolutely finished me off, to be fair.
Really has.
I went up there on Saturday and went and picked it up. And
so are you going to keep it this time, or is it actually stock that you're just going to use when you can?
So I will put it up for sale.
Okay.
But
I get it. You're a businessman.
And as long as I don't want three or four personal cars, I don't need them, mate. So as long as I've got one special car, which I have, and then I can jump in and out. I've got some plans in the next few weeks that I'd probably need it for, but it will go on the website and it will be for sale whenever.
Imminently.
No,
I get it. And we've spoken so many times before that at the end of the day, you know, we are sentimental about cars, but we're not sentimental about getting rid of cars, are we? You know, we're the kind of people that cars are there as a toy and as to be used. And when it's time to move on, it's time to move on.
Well, for me, more even so, because it's my job.
Well, there you go. Yeah. You see them. See them as an asset.
Yeah, that when they are, they're business assets. So, if I can, you know, I won't beat around the bush. If I can jump in and out of a car and use it and not lose any money, then, you know, that's the perks of my job, essentially.
And that is just such a good car, especially to run as a theoretical second sports supercar. You know, it's we had such a good time in that GTR in Ireland. And I think over the years, you always look at them and I just always go, it is really good.
It's really that good.
I think it's taken the place of the R8. You know, for a long time, the R8 was just, you're just like, it's just a great supercar. Like, you just go, and it still is. But I think that AMG has just taken the crown a little bit in terms of usability, performance, styling, aggressive. Like, it's just really good.
Practicality. You know probably the difference between the GTR and the Pro to the R8, the GTR has just got a little bit more character.
Mm.
Like it's just got something about it. And every time I drive one, or you know, I've owned a few, like I really, for the money as well, like I really can't think of anything better. And when we was having conversations about what second car should I get, and you know, I looked at 992 turbos and they're just ridiculous money. And I even looked at Lambo Hurricane Evos.
Yeah, I remember you saying.
I even contemplated, I mean, it wasn't going to happen, but I contemplated a McLaren.
At one moment, it was going to happen.
No, it wasn't. It was just a suggestion, as in, you know, because they do stupid finance deals.
Well, I think the problem is, this is a thing which I think, actually, let's address it for 2 seconds. as we have no real plan for today, let's jump on this topic. Because you, like so many others, and considering how much we've spoken about this, you fell for the same, I think, trick or thing that so many people do, which is, you hear this unbelievable finance deal on a McLaren and you start to go, well, oh my God, what an amount of car for theoretically a little amount of money. We spoke about that 17 grand in, 1700 quid a month for a brand new 720S. Mm. 600 LTs are still knocking around with good deals on them.
Similar
kind of money. And in comparison to other cars in that price bracket or that performance level, there's just always great value for money. And you know, and I had to kind of step in and say, the problem is, Tony, that's great if you keep the car for the length of the term.
Yeah.
If you give it back in 2 years and walk away,
yeah,
then you're great. But we are not people who do that. We like to change our cars quickly. And then you're going to be screwed, because when you come to sell it, you will be in big negative equity.
Yeah, and I was never, ever going to buy one,
He definitely, he was really considering
it. We had a conversation about it.
Two conversations.
And the biggest thing is what exactly what I tell other people is, you can't come out of them. And, yeah. And I mean, I do know that, but sometimes when you're looking for something and there's nothing really in the market, you sometimes just, maybe I should. And then, you know, I had a couple of conversations with people and I was righted my wrong, essentially.
But it's such an attractive proposition, and yeah, that's how they still get people in, I think, because we've never denied 720S, unbelievable car. Still go wrong, apparently, but... Oh, someone's breaking into something outside. That's not one of my
cars.
It's
not my van.
Oh, do you want to have a look? Doesn't sound like a van. Shall I just check?
It doesn't sound like a van. Are you all right? Well, we know if it's a van, because it's not a van. Is it over there? He's back. It wasn't my van.
I don't know
it?
What it was. I'm very good at recognising the alarm notes of different vehicles.
So why'd you go up to the window then?
Could have been one of my cars.
Well, you're not very good at recognising then, are you?
Don't forget, I've got 3 cars outside.
Oh, here he
goes. Hello! One car that no one else knows about, yeah.
Do I know about it?
Yeah, well, you would have seen it. You would have walked straight past it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I've seen it, yeah.
Being revealed this weekend.
Saw it last weekend.
That's to say, it starts with Jag and ends with Yuar.
Big reveal!
Sorry, back to what we were talking about. So, yes, I think that's the thing with McLaren. I do still get messages from people because it is just so tempting. Funnily enough, though, on the flip side, the new Artura, no, is that what it's called? I don't know why I doubted myself there for a second. Apparently big money in financing world.
Mm. Yeah.
Have you heard of any deals there?
Not in terms of, when you say big money financing world, you mean it's a lot of money a month?
Yes, as in you can get a 720S cheaper in terms of financing. So you're 17 grand in, 1700 quid a month, brand new 720S. I've heard Artura 15 grand in, 2,300 quid a month.
Yeah, it will be, because it's more money. It's more money new.
It's not the Artura.
Well, it is by the time...
It sits below 720S.
It does sit below it, but it doesn't sit below it by the time McLaren have done 72 grand off.
And there we go once again with the issues with McLaren. Oh, well. So, yeah, so you've done very well, long story short, by ending up with the Pro. I hope you get to use it for a bit. I hope no one comes along and bids you silly money for it and you lose it and regret it again.
Well, I'm probably, as in, for the moment, I've kind of earmarked it for the next 6 weeks. I've got a few things planned and I do really need it for that. So I probably won't let it go. Money talks, though, to be fair.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I mean, someone comes along, you'll start, oh, my.
So, I mean, I'd definitely consider it if there was a lovely part exchange. I could take that instead.
Hello. So what have you got coming up then? You say you've got a few things planned. Have you planned a few road trips? Are you going on a few adventures?
Yeah, so I plan with a few friends to go to Scotland.
Lovely.
Mid-June for...
North Coast or just in and around Scotland?
Yeah, just like, you know, North Coast up in the Highlands. We stay away from the stony roads, but yeah, up there, 4 or 5 days, like a really long, long weekend kind of thing.
When's that?
Mid-June.
Oh, okay. I'm going next week.
Are you?
Oi, oi.
Are you?
More to be revealed.
To Scotland.
Coming soon. Yeah. So I'm so overexcited about what's happening next week that I'm like a giddy child. Okay, so you're going up to Scotland, so fine. So that will be the pro trip, theoretically. That's what
I've earmarked the pro fine. For. And then I'm hoping, restrictions pending, that the end of August, early September, I shall go on my regular trip that I normally do in the Alps or in Europe, which I take the special car for, essentially.
I'm with you. I hope by that point. For me, I'm planning tons of UK trips throughout the sort of early summer. And then September, October is when I've earmarked for...
We need to try and do one, to be fair. We should try and do one.
Yeah, well, that trip before was mega going around Ireland. It would be cool. We should have a little look. I mean, whether it's a behind the glass tour or we should just go on a drive.
Just go on. We haven't even got to film it.
We haven't even got to film it. Just go on a bit of a laugh.
Just go and give it the big one.
Do need to film it, otherwise I can't pay for my cars. I do have finance payments to make. Tim from Magnus, you did remind me that.
Oh,
after providing this very nice Fnita quote. He said, just so you know, Sam, you couldn't afford this. And I was like, no, I do know, Tim. Thank you so much for that reminder.
Starts flacking.
Yeah, literally. I think he thought I was asking for myself. I'm envious of you. I think you've got good plans in place. I think it's right to start now planning little trips in and around the place. One place that you've been that I haven't been that I want to go to, Isle of Man.
Yeah.
Would you recommend it? But.
Yeah.
What is the but?
The but is kind of over in 3 days because it's just an island. You just drive around the island. It's like the Isle of Man TT. I'm sure everyone's seen that and you've definitely seen it on the TV. Once you've been round, you've been round. You can go back round the other way, but once you've been round, you've been round. There's, I went over with SCD and...
Supercar driver.
Yeah, you end up doing the same roads. I mean, it is cool if you've not been round and there's no speed limits.
So it's a day trip?
No, we was there for 3 or 4 days. There's also like an old airfield track there that we did as well, which was quite good because that broke the driving up. But yeah, you should go and do it.
Yeah, I want to, because I've never been. Their restrictions, their things are slightly different to the rest of the UK. So I think they're hoping to open up at the end of June. So that's potentially a trip that I want to try and do, maybe with the 9/11.
They've got no virus there, though.
Yeah, that's why. So they're being very, very careful about opening up their borders. Yeah. But yeah, I thought it could be quite good for the 9/11 because I know there's no speed limits, but to be honest, I'm not all about going 120 miles an hour on a country lane.
Though.
Yeah, you still get in trouble. And also, like, hey, look at the Isle of Man TV. Isle of Man TT. They're going off cliffs left, right, and centre, and they're sheep and buildings. Like, I'm just not all about going 120 miles an hour around those lanes. So I think the 9/11 could be perfect for it. But the roads are good and smooth and stuff like that. It's a good place to go and check out.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I haven't been for a couple of years.
No,
mate,
but you went in the Performante, right?
No, I went in the AMG GTR.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. There you go. Well, look, anyone who's got any inside info about driving Isle of Man, please let me know. Get in touch. info@seeingthroughglass.com.
You wanted any roads, mate? I mean, you just go round and round.
No, but you know me. I like coffee shops and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
I like places to go, destinations.
Yeah. It's very picturesque.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm thinking. And then I want to do Northern Ireland because we did mainland Ireland, but I want to go up and do Northern Ireland because some great scenic driving roads up there as well. I think that potentially be another Ferrari trip.
We looked at that. Mm. So in June, we was going to go over to Ireland.
Okay.
But what happened was is that it's still on the yellow list at the moment.
Republic of Ireland.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Fine.
So
amber list.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Amber list. Yeah.
So confusing.
So Scotland's just easier. Do you know what I mean? It's just easier. So
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, look, the topic that I wanted to dive in on today, which we can try and react to as we go, which I've managed to get up on my phone somehow, is the top 10 best-selling cars of all time.
Oh.
Hello. Now, we have done best-selling cars of last year, I think, or best-selling cars per country, but this is the best-selling cars of all time.
Are we going 10 to 1?
10 to 1.
Yeah.
The reason that I'm frustrated is I had breakdowns as well of, like, best-selling cars per manufacturer and per sector, and like it was way more interesting. This list isn't that interesting, but we're going to talk about it anyway because I don't have an internet to bring up the other list.
I could probably, I'm not going to tell you, but I can probably tell you number one.
I think you might be able to, but I'm going to see if you can guess it. We do have a little bit of car news as well, which I'll get to at the end.
Good.
Because hopefully by then the internet will be working. I can remind myself what the car news was. So let's dive into it. Number 10, Volkswagen Passat.
This is UK.
Nope. This is the best-selling cars around the world.
Oh, around the world.
Around the world. Now, again, oh no, here we go. 16 million Volkswagen Passats. Seven generations since 1973.
Fair.
So, okay, in the United States, it's had a slightly different name. It's known as the Dasher and the Quantum. It's a solid family car. And that really is what it is, isn't it? I don't think of a Passat as being a big seller, but now you hear that, you go, yeah, kind of makes sense,
yeah,
it?
it's just
16 million, that's a lot of cars.
Yeah, and you probably bet that Volkswagen Audi Group are in quite a lot of that list.
You're going to be right about that.
Which is why they're the biggest producer of cars in the world, for that reason.
Number 9 is impressive, but also predictable, and I thought would be higher up the list. It's the Ford Model T. Because, let's face it, it was the first car, fundamentally. We all know it's recognised as being the first car. Now,
I would never, ever got that.
Really?
No, mate.
Mate, it was literally like the first car.
Yeah, I mean, I knew it was the first car, but what I mean is they sold that many of them. I mean, there weren't that many.
16.5 million.
So everyone in the whole world must have had one.
Basically, it's saying here, first car was built in 1908, of course, by Henry Ford. It hasn't been in production for 86 years, but still holds the title of ninth best-selling car of all time.
Amazing.
Took 20 years for the Model T to sell more cars than most brands sell over decades. In that time, Ford produced a staggering 16.5 million.
I would have never, ever, ever have thought that that would be in there.
I thought it would be higher because of... they did produce it for quite a bit of time, but also because it was really the first car for the people... That was everyone's went and got them, and there were so many variations and trucks and two-seat. Like, there's this.
Yeah, but people just didn't have money to buy cars then.
It was relatively affordable. The whole point why it was successful.
But relatively affordable, but until
not as a peasant.
Yeah,
which of which they're generally, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
In the UK still. Yeah. Is that? Am I being?
No,
you're
no.
You're looking at me like I'm being a bit of a rude git there. I'm trying to say like
snob.
No, yeah, snob. No. But poverty was a big thing. Is what I was trying
exactly.
to say.
Exactly. That's yeah. why I find it difficult that it's there for that reason. Because, mate, people were riding around on horses still.
Yeah, good point. That's what I mean. I now regret saying the word peasant. I feel like it sounds really derogatory.
That's what they were called then.
Thank you for backing
me. You can't call someone a peasant now. That's derogatory. But,
yeah.
But back then,
it
they,
was a
they,
more
social, yeah, no, it was
socially acceptable.
Yeah,
term.
Yeah, yeah.
Phew. Don't want to get sued. Okay, number 8 on the list. This one I think might surprise you. It's a Honda.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Accord.
Really? No, I can imagine that's probably quite big in Japan and that.
18 million.
Mm.
It was the first car the Japanese manufacturer produced in America. and it's been one of the best-selling cars in the US since 1989. So it's actually America that has made the Accord so successful.
Fair. Because it never really took off here. I don't even know if they still make it here now.
You would assume so? Really? I'm looking at a picture of one going, I don't recognise that.
No, I mean, I'd recognise one a mile off, but I don't know whether they've dropped it for the UK. I mean,
the US just love them, don't they?
Yeah. Sedan, isn't it?
It's a sedan, yeah. It's just a, you know, and also reliability. And, you know, since 1989, so that's really when I think Japanese manufacturers were really taken on, like the Americans fell in love with that cheap, affordable, reliable cars.
Well, they were 10, in terms of technology, they're 10 years ahead at the time of anyone else. And all
the, American muscle was going down the hill at that point.
Yeah.
So Honda Accord. Number seven, the good old Ford Escort. That surely you expected on the list, right?
Yeah, I did expect it on the list.
18 million worldwide. So actually a very similar number to the Honda Accords.
Yeah. But obviously they haven't made that for quite some time now, but they did sell millions of them.
They still sell an Escort in China.
Do they?
Yeah, the actual model called the Escort. Here in the States, Ford has axed it, migrating over to the EcoSport.
Is that our focus then? That's our focus, is it?
No, because it's more of a compact saloon, isn't it?
So what is that then?
Did anything ever take its place?
What,
the EcoSport.
No, the Escort.
Yeah, what is the Escort now?
The Escort is like Focus size. The Ford Escort would be
Focus RS vibes.
Yeah, well, not even RS, just Focus.
Focus, sorry.
Yeah. The Focus.
I guess.
Yeah, so.
You know more than me.
Well, yeah, it's my era.
It is. So, yeah, 18 million Escorts produced since 1968.
Lots of different variants as well.
Loads of different variants,
yeah.
And obviously had some good old motorsport history.
Loads of heritage. I had the RS.
Yeah, I remember. They were like, and we always say this. I'm still convinced you had one at the dealership when we first met, but you seem to think that you'd sold it before I got there.
No.
You had a whale tail.
I did have it. It was a mallard green.
Right, so at the back.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was there when I...
Yes, it probably was. How long have we known each other? 5 years now? So probably
knocking around.
Yeah.
Number six, Honda Civic.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right up there. Again, well over 18 million since 1972. Pretty predictable. Now we're coming into the top five. So I'm now going to ask you for what you think number one all-time bestseller is.
F1 pickup.
F-150, Ford pickup. That was my assumption too. Let's see what happens. Number five, the Lada Riva.
Oh, they still make that.
Literally, the car of Soviet Union. That's right.
Yeah, they still make that in... it's not the Soviet Union anymore, right?
But of course.
Yeah.
But I drove a variation... in Bulgaria. It was one of the coolest things in my entire life.
Really?
I had so much fun. And there's a big rally market because they're so cheap to modify and you can steal parts out of different versions. It was so cool, kitted out. And they're just hilarious. And it's a bit like the Fiat Panda. Like we talked about in that episode, how Fiat Pandas just keep Italy running.
Yeah.
There are just larders in, I think, that part of the world. Just everywhere.
You don't want one to run you over, by the way.
No, it's a brick.
Absolute brick.
It was first hit the scene in 1980, but the bones are much older. The humble Lada is based on the Fiat 124, as we knew, which dates all the way back to 1966. Millions of these little sedans have been pumped out, but they're still rolling down assembly lines in Egypt.
Amazing.
Yeah. It's not happening in Russia. It's in Egypt. So yeah, pretty cool and not surprising once you start to see. If you've ever travelled anywhere slightly eastern within Europe, you'll see them all over the place. And I guess maybe they're probably really popular in Egypt too.
Well, Egypt require a slightly different car to us. There's no point putting a new Golf there because of all the electrics and all the sand. I mean, they want something. It's a little bit like Dubai. They love a Land Cruiser.
Love a Land Cruiser.
It's quite basic. And when they go in the sand dunes, I mean, you imagine what that would do to a modern car then.
Ruin it.
Absolutely ruin it. So Egypt would be similar.
Number four, this is what people often think of as number one, Volkswagen Beetle.
What, best-selling car in the world ever?
23.5 million units. And if you Google it, most people say Beetle, or it's like... Most people, you know, the misconception is the Beetle, but actually not.
Mm.
I didn't even cross my mind. Now I look at it, of course, Beetle, duh. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But actually, really didn't cross my mind that the Beetle would be a high-selling car.
Yeah.
Obviously from the 60s. Built in 1938 to Hitler's specifications. Awkward.
Yeah.
23.5 million units. And then it obviously said goodbye in 2019. It disappeared.
Yeah.
But obviously an icon and one of those cars like a 911 or we've named them before, but you know, a Beetle's a Beetle, right?
Yeah.
And they stuck true to that. So doesn't surprise me massively, but it's not a car I thought of, oddly. Number three, I think predictably, Volkswagen Golf.
Yeah, that had to be in there, yeah.
Yeah, which was going to be in there. I think numbers-wise, let's see, over 30 million cars.
Yeah.
Came on the scene in 1974. It's obviously, it was named as the Rabbit for a while. I mean, you know, we love a Golf.
Been making it 40-odd years, but, you know, so it had to be
predictable.
There. Yeah.
Now, number two, Ford F-Series. Can you believe it? Number two, over 40 million models over the last six decades, making Ford the undisputed king of the pickup. The F-Series still remains the best-selling vehicle in America, as we know, we've spoken about before. But it's not the best-selling car of all time.
So what can it be then? I mean, can I have
you can have a guess. I'm going to let you have a guess.
So it's not the Ford Fiesta, I wouldn't have thought, because although that's the best-selling car in this country, it needs to be best-selling in America as well for that reason.
And there's another market where it needs to sell very well.
China.
Can you remember?
Corolla.
Well done!
Yeah.
I actually was like, you're never going to get this.
No, it had to be the Corolla.
Sometimes you surprise me. Sometimes I'm like, fair play. Toyota Corolla.
Know some stuff.
43, 44 million units sold.
I was trying to think then, as I was before I reeled it off, I was just trying to think of longevity and where they'd been sold.
And big markets. It's longevity and big markets are the two.
Mass market.
And US and China, you know, and you said it's been around forever. Yeah. And also around the world, you know, it just keeps adding up. There's so many countries in the world where that is a good, accessible, usable.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, God. You know what? A list that I thought was going to be very obvious, but didn't. Surprised us, surprised me. And
there was definitely a couple in there that surprised me. The Model T was one, 100%. And there was another one in there that surprised me, actually. I can't even remember the whole list now. But
no.
The Passat.
I didn't see
the Passat. Yeah, that surprised me.
Okay, well, look, let's come on to that car news. I have managed to bring up.
You have internet?
I have. So
screenshot.
I've got a load of press releases here, which get sent to me, which I can now scroll through and try and remind myself of. What any interesting ones were. Volkswagen Golf Polo GTI to arrive in June, 2021 Polo GTI.
It's a good
keen
car.
On that. Keen on that. If they made it a three-door, I'd buy one immediately, but it's going to be five-door probably, isn't it? Because no one makes three-doors anymore.
No one makes three-doors anymore.
Can you still get an up GTI, or is that discontinued?
I would imagine so. Why not? I mean, it's good.
For a while, they stopped, though, didn't they?
Did they?
Yeah, for a while, they stopped, but then I'm pretty sure it came back.
Yeah.
GTI. That's my thing, like, I'm all about three doors. I saw a three-door Mark IV Golf R32 at the weekend. Can I say, like, I'm going to sound like a real dick right now. I was talking about those 2 years ago and you were laughing at me. They're like 25 grand now.
Oh, no, yeah. I'll tell you another one as well, Volkswagen, that's actually a few quid. Do you remember the Lupo GTI?
Yeah. Are they a few quid?
Yes.
Really?
Mate. Yeah, because you go and find one.
Yeah, you can't
track them down. A low mileage one. They didn't sell millions of them. And now go and find a good one.
If anyone's got a Mark IV R32 unmolested, I don't want some modified thing. I want a completely original Golf R32. Please get in touch. Because that when I passed my test, I got myself a Golf 1.4 petrol and the R32 was like dreaming beyond all dreams.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've never driven one.
Really?
And I've always wanted to. Just so cool. I love that boxy shape.
So we had the VR6.
Ah, yeah, of course.
Yeah, the one before. That R32 was what we used to call the bubble car.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just think it's cool.
Yeah.
Then obviously you got the Mark V, which went a bit bulky, didn't it? And then you went to the R.
Yeah, well, the R was the modern R32, essentially.
Of course. But the 32s.
For emissions, obviously.
Yeah, the 32s were cool.
Yeah, with the V6.
So yeah, Golf GTI. Polo. Why do I keep saying that? Polo GTI, I'm intrigued and keen to check out. I'm going to keep scrolling here. Ah, yes, Macan EV, fully confirmed now. It's coming.
Yeah.
2023 Macan will no longer be available petrol. Are we correct in that? Or correct. Diesel? Are we going to see a hybrid, do we think, or just EV for the Macan?
As far as I know, it's all electric.
Okay, so it's going to be an Audi e-tron, that thing.
And I knew that in 2019 because I all went right, to sure. the... No. Because I went to the press... Not the press. I went to the launch of the 992.
Okay.
And the lady, the head of Porsche, was presenting it, and she said out... She was saying the future of Porsche...
Rollout things.
The rollout, and the next Macan will be full electric, yeah.
Is... It's like I say, it's a shame, it's a bit aggressive, but that's been such a popular car, hasn't it? Such a great car.
Best-selling car, mate.
And also a driver's SUV, right? Everyone always says, oh, the best handling SUV you can get is a Macan. Mm. Weirdly, I've never really been that, I've never found them that desirable, but lots of people absolutely adore them.
They're very good.
Are they potentially shooting themselves in the foot there, going full of E, or maybe they're just thinking that by that point, everyone's going to be so pro-EV that they're going
to... I think what Porsche are trying to do, like a lot of these manufacturers, but Porsche especially, and the ones that make sports cars, is that they're trying to make as many of their models electric so they can still make the cars for
the juicy bits.
Heads.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
But I just think the Macan, like, you know, there's a lot of people who might then go, oh God, well, I'm not ready to go EV yet, so...
But mums buy them, mate. You know, like, you know what Porsche done with the Macan is that... If they had brought the Macan out before the Cayenne, no one would have bought Cayennes.
Yeah, fair.
You know, so
the Macan
is such a, it's just that perfect size.
Yep.
It's a bit like an Evoque.
Yeah, no, of course. It's just perfect. Usable, perfect size.
Yeah.
And in a couple of years' time, if they're going to be saying, we're doing 2023 on the road, you know, 2024, you know, our dreaded topic of EV infrastructure will infinitely be better. If it's got so much better over the last couple of years, it will be better again. So making those cars potentially, you know, even more usable and good to go. There's a nice release came out this week about Toyota confirming that their GR lineup, so like AMG whatever, it's going to be called the GR Supersport, I think, which is their Le Mans hypercar.
Yep.
986 horsepower. The thing is, right, when you see the cars, because they did the endurance, where did they go racing the other day? Anyway, I can't remember.
I didn't see.
It just still looks like a Le Mans car. It doesn't look like a hypercar. I thought we were going to see road cars racing at Le Mans, but they are just Le Mans cars that are going to go on the road, which is even crazier. I love the idea of the Toyota one. We've spoken about how pro we are about GR products at the moment, doing cool things. The renders that come out based on the Le Mans car look super exciting. 1,000 horsepower.
Amazing.
I mean, going to be nuts.
Yeah.
From Toyota.
Yeah.
What a hypercar to go and buy.
How much is it?
God knows, but can you imagine buying a Toyota? I mean, like...
Yeah.
I think, will it be like a Honda NSX? No, it'll be that times a million, like, won't it? What would it be like going to buy? Well, there's no comparison.
Yeah, it'd be a price range hypercar.
I love it. See some shots of the AMG Project One on the road testing in proper.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so it's out and about coming. Doing bits. I know we're speaking about that. Some cool stuff actually happened with the Lotus Evira as well last week. Top Gear did the first drive in a prototype. Yeah, only at 75% performance or abilities and no ABS, no traction like that. But. Looked good, they were impressed. Right. Yeah, so what I didn't realise, and I still need to speak to Lotus about this, because of course it's all about handling with the Evira and it being a Lotus, they've gone aggressive on the weight. So I think the overall weight on the car is either, it's either 1,700 or 1,800 kilos.
Heavy.
Well, compared to any other EV, super light.
Okay.
But, you know, that's what, Turbo S weight?
Heavy for them though.
Heavy for them, light for an EV. But
it's Turbo S weight, yeah.
Yeah, so best that they can probably do. It means, though, that the battery or the range is very, very small. So on the test day, and I don't know, again, if this is going to be final production, I think they could only do 30 minutes flat out.
Yeah, that's...
Or was it 30 laps or 30 minutes? It wasn't very impressive, which suggests to me, because then it's a track toy, unless that's going to change. So I'm intrigued to find out more. I'm lucky to have a good relationship with Lotus and I want to talk to them more about that car. Fair. But that was the only thing I picked up on that went, oh, that changes, in my mind, how that car's going to be used.
While we're on the subject of EV, how did you get on with the bloke that's going to come on?
Yeah, just working out the date.
Oh, good.
That's all it is, because I want them in the studio.
Yeah, fair.
Let's not do, I'm so over Zoom
interviews. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like, much better to have people touch and feel them.
That's exactly it. each of their own, mate. I'm just scrolling through because there was a couple of other bits of news that I definitely wanted to pick up on. Oh, yes. The Corvette C8, that mid-engine Corvette, it is officially confirmed for the UK now.
Coming here.
Coming here. 82 grand.
Good value.
That's what I was going to say, yeah. Actually, because that's the big thing with the American cars, right? When you price convert it dollars to pounds, you go, what good value? But when it comes here, people sell them for us ludicrous. 81 grand for a mid-engined V8?
I would guess. It should be a V8. Yeah, yeah.
V8. Silly horsepower, I think. Let me just try and find it here. Let's see if I can open this up. Yeah, top spec is going to be 87 grand.
Amazing.
You still get the dodgy interior, but is what it is. Loads of kit, because all the American cars do come with loads of kit. Yeah, 595 horsepower, 6.2 litre V8. I'm intrigued by that.
Me too. They're taking that that R8 market, aren't they?
That's because what it is.
That's what they're doing.
That's where you go up against.
Audi have come in a way, as far as I know, they're not going to make the R8 anymore.
It's going to be electric.
Yeah.
Electric supercar.
Yeah, so that's the price. But I mean, there's a gap. There is a gap.
There's a gap, and yeah. We love to talk about something different, something out there, something a bit unique, and that is right up people's street. You're not going after the 911 customer, are you? Because
no.
Interior quality, it's not, but it's of something that's an affordable supercar.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Bristol cars are coming back. Don't know if you saw about that.
No.
Bit of a weird one. But
Bristol cars?
There's a few of these, like, let's bring back some old names. I keep getting all these press releases.
Someone's just got some money off.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's call it Bristol.
That's literally it. Let me see if there's anything else that I wanted to touch on. I think, some Swiss firm, 200 mile an hour Ferrari Testarossa resto mod. Why not? Love it.
While we're on the subject of Ferrari, I've alarmingly seen, I'm a little bit worried about them, mate, to be honest.
Why?
Because... alarmingly, there's a few SF90s starting to hit the market now.
There are indeed.
In a minute, they're probably advertised at Overlist. It honestly does not take long before they're list and then under list. And I dread to say this, and again, Ferrari's probably not going to like me for saying it, but I don't know the extent, but I think they're doing deals on F8s.
You know what? I think, because I know... a good handful of people who recently have either done a quick swap into an F8 or people who aren't really Ferrari fans but are suddenly getting F8s. And I'm like, this is strange because usually you got a huge waiting list. Secondly, they're crazy money. But these are people who, and I haven't actually asked, next time someone says to me, oh, I'm getting an F8 or I've just switched to an F8, I should say, well, why? I would also question whether maybe there are some incentives or some deals there. SF90, I think, let's just put it on a shelf for now because I'll be so interested to see what's going to happen to that car over the next 5 years. Let's just hold tight. They're not going for crazy overs, but I'm not going to write that car off just yet. Paul Waller said it was unbelievable, but he's not a Ferrari guy, so what does that mean? Who knows? But F8s are an interesting one because they are a lot of them... cropping up.
Well, we know it's the stopgap car for the hybrid car. We know that much, and it's just basically another 488. But
a celebration of that engine, hence the name.
Correct.
A tribute to the engine.
Yeah, and we know that when 488s come out, even the base cars, when they first come out for a good year, they were 30 over or something. I mean, that was the bonkers time in 2016 when everything was over. It was a joke. I think they're struggling to sell this car. And the fact that Ferrari... I mean, I know they're giving money off them. I don't know to what extent, but I know. And it just worries me that they're doing that because they're slowly becoming a little bit like McLaren and Aston in that respect, as in...
Is this not the way of the world, though?
Maybe it is just the way of the world. Maybe it is just... You know, I mean, it's all about protecting your brand. But the thing is, maybe they've got to make that car. They've got to make a car. They have to make a mid-series V8. They couldn't continue with the 488. So they had to do something. Their hybrid car's not ready. It's a little bit like the Aventador, mate.
Yeah, you know, good point.
Where's the replacement of that?
Yeah,
we know probably that the replacement, the Aventador, hasn't come out because... I think the SF90 has got some blame.
Yeah, I think they kind of went, oh, we got to...
Yeah.
Let's not follow that up real quick.
Correct. Yeah. I think they looked at the SF90 and thought, oh, a V12 car hasn't got quite as much power as that one, so we better rework that.
Let's make the Cyan in the meantime.
Yeah, but that made...
Probably
that,
was it,
wasn't another
it?
Aventador.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I really, but they got to be a little bit careful that they don't fall into that trap of the discount kings again and ruining the brand, because that's a slippery slope, as we've seen.
The thing about Ferrari, right, is you're buying the badge, aren't you? More than almost anywhere now. You're buying heritage, you're buying a lifestyle, you're buying success, you're buying whatever you're buying.
You are at the moment.
Okay, well, exactly this. Now, unfortunately, the Formula One team don't have a lot to talk about at the moment.
No.
Noticeably so, that plaques celebrating championship years have very much disappeared from the insides of Ferraris.
Well, they haven't won.
Ferraris. Exactly that. Yeah. So they don't have a lot to sort of say, look how successful we are, which was a similar era as what, the sort of 308 era. And then on the road car side, I wouldn't say SF90, you could argue, is sort of industry redefining, like a Speciale, right, was, and we've spoken about, but actually hasn't been that desirable.
Well, you know why? Because it's £500,000 for a start. I mean, you will get people that buy them, obviously, but...
It's £500,000 hypercar, mate.
Correct. But you know, I kind of get what they're doing with that car, because it's their... This is the start of the next 10 years for Ferrari. Because that's what it is. This is their new technology. But I don't know. I just hope that they've got the direction right and they know what... Because they're normally so good at that. They always have a direction and they know exactly where they're going. And I just hope they're not going to fall into that trap of some of the other manufacturers.
It's feeling different at the moment. As a Uber fan, or as Uber fans, it definitely feels the Ferrari brand or product lineup or company feels different at the moment. You know, the way they're releasing cars, how they release cars, what their cars say and how they sort of position them within the market. But over and over again, we talk about how all of these supercars are blending to one another. All of them are becoming too good at everything. All of them are bland. They all tick every single box under the sun. I still drive Ferraris and adore and love them.
Me too.
Are they as desirable? Maybe just because I'm not in that realm of that money. It's a very hard one to judge, because there are still people out there still buying lots of Ferraris. That is still happening.
And there are.
And Competizione and Competizione Aperta, super cool. And
yeah,
there's still lots going on, but I'm with you. There's also a slightly different side of, you know, questioning whether... But you know what? Actually, I'm sorry. I'm thinking out loud here. Maybe we want that, actually, because whilst it making a brand more accessible, making cars more accessible, takes away some of the sort of, you know, specialness, exclusivity.
Yeah.
But actually, everyone always belittled the old boys club nature of Ferrari. The fact that you had to go in and, you know X, Y, and Z and have bought X, Y, and Z before you're allowed to buy the new car. But actually, if we love Ferrari, don't we want to see more people being able to buy Ferraris? Heck, I want to be able to walk into Dick Lovett Swindon and say, hey guys, I want to buy a Roma, and not have them say, oh, well, do you have a California T? And what are you, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they do that. They only do that with the special cars, you know. They don't do that. You know, you can go and buy a normal punter can come and buy the normal cars, essentially. They're not... The thing is that once they start... If they start going down the road that I think they're going to go down, I hope they don't, it then becomes not exclusive anymore. And Ferrari are that... They are meant to be an exclusive special brand. And I just don't... They frustrate me sometimes, but as a fan and an owner of previous cars, I don't necessarily want them to go down that road where they are accessible for everyone.
I know what you mean. It's like when you find an amazing new restaurant, or you go to this hotel which you love, or a holiday, whatever, and then everyone else cottons onto it. It somehow ruins it. You know, it is that same mentality. So, are we being too precious? I don't know. Are you right in the sense that actually that's a lot of their market appeal? That's a lot about their brand, is their exclusivity. And if they lose it, are they who they've always been? You know, there are question marks there, I think we have to admit. But I do also think sometimes they can still pull it out of the bag. And fundamentally, Ferrari is still Ferrari. And it's going to be very hard for them to damage that brand just because maybe their cars are a bit more accessible financially or to people, because you're still talking about a 0.001 percentile. Majority of people who lust after Ferraris are buying Ferrari hats, not cars.
Yeah.
And so the more the Ferraris they see, the more excited they're going to be. Like, do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, So
maybe they're forced to go down that road because of the competition.
Yeah,
you know, there's a lot of competition now, you know.
You never know. And hey, all it's doing is making my 360 more valuable. So
you won't.
I wish. Anyway, no, I don't really care, to be honest.
No, of course.
That brings to an end to today's episode. You know, I think we did all right considering that everything seems to have crashed on my laptop. And we didn't really know what we're going to talk about today, but exciting that we did unexpectedly announce the live shows, the return of Behind the Glass.
Yep.
Live. That is mega. So make those notes in your diary. Lots more information to come.
Oh, I look forward to meeting some of you. Just going on you.
Well, there we go. Just hanging out.
Yeah.
Don't be too rude about people's cars because they'll, well, really? They can punch you if they want. So be as rude as you like.
No, I've got glasses on. I can't punch them over glasses.
If you want to follow Tony, he's at Tony Grower with Card Sales on most social media platforms. I'm at Seen Through Glass on most. My coffee, which has been very lightly displayed here.
How's that doing? Is that doing all right?
Still doing amazingly well. Very so good. Excited. Available at drinkperla.co.uk/STG. If you're watching here on YouTube, make sure to subscribe, turn on notifications. If you're listening to us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, make sure to follow us there.
Brief.
And we will catch up with you next week. Bye bye.
See ya.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.